still. As she made her way to Jesus, she stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger. Her folks whispered, there's no place here for her kind. Until the day when Jesus came to me, and at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no word, everything she said was heard. She poured a love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the sin that had me bound. And I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and filled my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary.
My name is Doug Garcia, and I work with Better Life Broadcasting Network, which is a TV network that covers a lot of Southern Oregon. And you know what the Lord has done? The Lord has kept this thing going for 30 years this year.
Amen.
30 years. That's a lot of bills. The Lord has deep pockets.
Amen.
He uses his people to get things done. And I have been in Adventist media for much of my life, and I don't know of any place like Southern Oregon. I don't know of any place that has the blanket of Adventist Christian media programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like Southern Oregon has. It is a gift. It is a big gift that the Lord has given us, and I don't want us to forget how wonderful that gift has been. Just in case you didn't know, we have four channels we broadcast with an antenna and through the internet. Our main channel is one of them. We have a health channel that's mostly health-related, some spiritual health, physical health, mental health. We've got a third channel that's nature footage with beautiful music, and people love that channel, even though it's a repetitious, every 2 hours or so it repeats. But people turn it on if they want to wake up at night and can't get to sleep. They hear the soothing music, and they see all the nature scenes, and they calm down.
Amen.
People love that channel. And the fourth channel we have is a Spanish channel, which is much needed in some of the areas that we're in. We broadcast in Reno, Nevada, too. And I think we may be the only Spanish channel broadcasting over the air in Reno. So you have a Spanish population there, of course, and people are searching around their TVs. Guess what they find? Better Life and God's programming is there. We produce some of our own programs. Some of you have seen Stories of Faith. Sayuri and I do that one. We enjoy that one very much because we get to tell stories of what God is doing today.
Amen.
There's great stories in the Bible, and some people think that's where the miracles ended. But you stop and listen to the program, and we'll tell you some things that are happening that are at times as dramatic as what you read about in the Bible. So we're happy to have that program on. You know, we have another program that we just started airing from Steve Wolberg. Have any of you had a chance to see this program, Good News for Muslims?
Yeah.
Good News for Muslims. I was preparing one of the... let me put it this way. I was copying one of the programs over that's going to begin airing tomorrow. Our cycle of programming begins every Sunday. So if a program like Good News for Muslim airs four times during the week, the new program begins showing on Sunday. And then that same program will show at various times through the week so that people can catch it. Well, this next week, beginning tomorrow, I would advise you to make a note to watch the program, Good News for Muslims. I had to scan it this week. I was kind of looking it over. We like to know what programs are airing on the network. And I was scanning it over, and that is a good program. The one that's going to air this week is entitled Dreams and Visions. The Lord uses dreams and visions for Muslims, it seems like, in a very particular way. They respond to that. It means something special to them. Whereas sometimes we tell people our dreams here in the United States, oh, you just had a pizza last night, didn't you? Had a bad dream. But to the Muslim culture, a dream is significant. And so there were some great stories. And I'm going to tell you, well, let me tell you the story first, and then I'll tell you what time, you might want to have a pen handy, what time you can watch it this week. But he told one story that really caught my attention. Now, the person who was on the program with Steve Wolberg was Shabazz. Brother Shabazz. Any of you seen him? He was at the Grants Pass Church a number of years ago. He is a convert from Islam to Christianity, and now he's working to convert more Muslims to Christianity. But it's a really scary thing he does, because when he tells stories and things, he says, I can't tell you where this story happened because I don't want to endanger the people that it happened to. Can you imagine when you can't convert people, you can't talk about Jesus without fear of something happening to you? That's kind of the thing that hangs over his head. But he told a story on the program. If you watch, you'll hear it from his own perspective. But he told the story that one day he was getting ready to do some kind of a radio program. And they were getting ready, and he said, the Lord impressed me, this is Brother Shabazz, the Lord impressed me to go across the street to talk to somebody. Walk across the street, I have somebody I need you to talk to. Well, the program was getting ready to start. So he goes into the people who are doing the radio show, TV show, radio show, and he says, I have to go somewhere. And I think I'm going to be back in time to start the program, but I might not be. They said, you're not going to, may not be. Well, what do you want us to do? I want you to run a repeat. If I'm not back, you run a repeat. I'm going to try to be back, though. Well, he went out and went across the street, and I forget whether he said it was just a building or it was a church, but he went into the building, and I think in the upper floors he found there was a group meeting, and I think he said they were a Christian group. He went in and introduced himself, sat down, and as he sat down, he felt impressed once again by the Lord, that man over there, that's the one I want you to speak to. He said, okay. So the meeting went on, and when the meeting got to the end, he said, I'm going to go talk to that man. But you know what happened? Before he had a chance to get up to go talk to that man, the man got up and made a beeline for him. And the man walks up to Brother Shabazz and says, you have something to tell me, don't you? Whoa. And he says, you have three things you need to tell me. And the reason I know is that last night I had a dream that we were here and you came in and I'm supposed to talk to you. Now, how does that make you feel? The Lord is working for the Muslim people. He's working for everybody. And you see it every now and then in these stories that come out. There is more stories that you want to hear. So if you want to see this program, Good News for Muslims, it starts tomorrow, the show that I'm talking about, tomorrow at 8 p.m., 8 p.m. on Better Life. If you miss that one, you can watch it at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, 11 a.m. on Wednesday. And if you miss that one, next Sabbath, a week from today, it'll be on at 2:30 p.m. So once again, that's 8 p.m. Sunday, 11 a.m. Wednesday, or 2 p.m. Saturday, beginning tomorrow. The cycle begins tomorrow. If you get a chance, watch that program. It'll go fat by fast. It's a half-hour program, but you'll wish it was longer. So that's what another thing we're doing on the air. We are having such wonderful responses. When the Lord puts something like an evangelistic thing of a television network in an area, you can't help but have good stories come out as a result of that. I wanted to share what happened recently when a lady from Klamath Falls called us. She called us a number of weeks ago, several months ago, and she said, I've been watching you now. I've started watching your program on television. She said, and somebody came in today and they blessed my house, but they didn't bless it in the name of Jesus. They blessed it in the name of somebody else, and I don't know who that is. And I said, well, was it, and we tried to figure it out. It could have been some saint or something. I said, listen, and she goes, I don't feel right. I don't feel comfortable in my house anymore. Now, she has some problems. This is not a typical person. She's had problems, and so she was nervous. I later found out that she had not left her house in quite a while. There's a word for that when people stay at home. And so I said, well, listen, what we should need to do, you know what we can do right now? I said, let's pray a blessing upon your house right now on the phone, and we'll ask for the blessing to come in Jesus' name.
Amen.
She said, well, okay, I'll do that. So we had the prayer and asked Jesus to come into her home, and then we hung up and said goodbye. I said, you know, you might want to go visit your Adventist church. It's right there in town, you know. It's down, I think I might have looked up the address for her. I said, it's right there. So I hung up. I later found out that she all of a sudden felt a wonderful feeling of goodness come upon her. She said, I felt so good. She said, I got up and I went out and I went shopping.
Oh, amen.
Big thing for her. She said, and I went to your church. I forget what day she called on, but I'm sure it wasn't that far from Sabbath. She said, she later told me on the phone, she said, I got to your church, she said, and I was enjoying my time there. She says, but people kind of make me nervous, but I was enjoying my time there. She said, and when the offering plate came by, she felt, I need to give something to Jesus. She said, I looked in my purse and there was, I think she said $40. Now I had intended to use that money for my electric bill, but I said, I need to give Jesus something. She took the money that she had in her purse, which was just the $40, and she placed it into the offering plate. She got home later that day, and because she wasn't used to going to church on Saturdays, she thought it was Sunday. She got a little confused. She thought it was Sunday. So the reason I'm telling you this is that she didn't go check her mail. But the next day she did go check her mail. And in her mail was the electric bill. She looked over the electric bill and I don't think she could believe her eyes. Somehow, because she signed up for something or somehow, they gave her a credit. And do you know how much that credit was for? No. It was for seven times $40. She was so happy. Well, time passes. Okay, I'm talking with the pastor of the Klamath Falls Church now, a number of weeks later. We're talking and he's asking about this seminar that's going to be starting. Will we advertise for them? And of course we will. We want all the churches to advertise through Better Life. And he then at the end of our phone call, he goes, you know that lady who started coming to our church, the one that you told me was going to be coming? Because I called ahead. I said, I've talked to this lady. If she comes in, you make sure.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Anyway, he said, that lady, I said, yeah, he said she stopped coming to the church. I said, oh, she stopped coming to the church. I said, well, I told the pastor, I said, the last time I spoke with her, I remember, she told me she was going to change cell phones, but she didn't know the new number, so she couldn't give it to me. Since that time, I had called her old number and nobody answered, so I figured it didn't work. So I told the pastor, well, she was going to switch phones. I don't know her new number, so I don't know how we can get in touch with her. Maybe her address. But right at that moment, I felt something whisper in my mind's ear. And that voice said, God knows where she is. Oh, yes, God knows where she is, I thought. And he can help you reconnect. I said, yes, he can help us reconnect if you want. Huh. 4 o'clock that day, that very same day, the telephone rang. Guess who it was? It was that lady. Now, I had not spoken to her in weeks, right? All of a sudden, at 4 o'clock, that very same day, when the pastor begins looking for her, she calls me. Now, it's a little more remarkable than that because she calls me from a borrowed phone. She doesn't have a phone. But her caseworker was visiting her house, and she felt the need to call us right then. She borrowed the caseworker's phone to call us that very day that we were looking for her. And I told her, you know, and I encouraged her. We prayed again because she was feeling bad. She said, I'm scared or whatever she was. And I said, listen, call your local church. They're closer than we are. They can help you. They'll help you. They know you. And so we gave her the phone number and encouraged her. And we had prayer again about her being feeling better about everything. And then we left. Now, I have not heard from her since. But you see what's happening here with the connection? Because of a thing called Better Life TV, we're able to make the connection. We're able to work and work and work towards this goal of getting her connected with the church family. That's a wonderful thing. Well, I wanted to share something with you. I brought something, a video along, and I don't know, we were talking about the possibility that it may not work with audio. If that doesn't work, it's okay. We'll go on and do other things. But we're going to give it a try. This is a video we prepared to show people what is happening at Better Life, and I wanted to try to share that with you now. Let's see if we can make that work.
Because Jesus wants to take us all on a wonderful trip to heaven. The problem is that many people don't have any idea of this incredible opportunity. How will we let them know? Came in 1990 when God gave Southern Oregon an unexpected gift, an amazingly effective way to tell our part of the world about God's great love for them. And that gift was Better Life Broadcasting Network. In the beginning, many volunteers accepted that gift. They didn't have much experience, but they had willing hearts. So they dug, built, and painted. They produced, recorded, and edited. And they began making the most of this new powerful tool. After all, Satan had many TV channels. Shouldn't God have at least one? As the years passed by, Better Life's broadcast reach continued to expand. Now large portions of Oregon, parts of Northern California, and even Reno, Nevada received the signal. And as the invitation to join God on his wonderful trip has gone out, many have responded.
It's been about 20 years ago I started listening to Better Life Television, and oh, it just absolutely floored me how much I learned. It was Doug Batchelor's series he had in 2000, and it convinced me, and I couldn't wait to join the church. Such a wonderful way to go into the homes and teach people about the Bible.
So a friend who was staying with me directed me to a TV station, and I had seen others, but they still weren't teaching what the Bible said. So when he introduced me to Better Life, I turned it on, and lo and behold, everything I was hearing on there was what I understood to be the truth in the Bible, and that's what I wanted to do, was follow the Bible. And since that time, 10 years ago, I have not stopped watching Better Life Television. So my mom, about a year after I started reading the Bible and found Better Life Television and started in the church, my mom saw changes in me. And she didn't understand what those changes were, but she liked them. So I directed her to Better Life to help her get a better understanding of why I chose to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And after watching Better Life and then making the choice to come to church with me, she was baptized as well. And a big part of that was because of Better Life Television.
The way I came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church is through Better Life TV. I was laying on my couch in Eugene, Oregon, very, very sick, and listening to the Nature Channel. And one night, the music was gone, the pictures were gone, and there was preaching on there. And I started hearing things I'd never heard before. I pulled my Bible off the shelf, looked it up, lo and behold, it was God's Word. And I started watching more and more. I started learning more and more. And finally, I became convinced this was the truth, and I needed to walk in the truth. And so I got in touch with a Seventh-day Adventist church, started going, did Bible studies, got baptized, and here I am today, and it's all because of Better Life.
I moved into my travel trailer. I had a TV that had one station, Better Life, and I started watching it and started getting the answers that I needed to deal with my past.
Well, Better Life was what actually brought us into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Why would we want to support Better Life? It's what better experience could one get than to show somebody the pathway to eternal life and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's truly a blessing.
I listen to Doug Batchelor the most, and I just love his sermons. I love his story. I was always going to church, but I never read the Bible like I do now. We have a friend who's 101. She just had a birthday party, and she says, "Guess who likes the Seventh-day Adventists? I do. I listen to them every day." And I was just so pleased to hear that, you know, the word's out there, and it's great.
Martin and I moved from Southern California to Southern Oregon in 1995. In 1998, through the broadcast of Better Life Broadcasting Network, we became Seventh-day Adventist Christians. In the year 2000, the board of Better Life Broadcasting asked us to manage the station here. We decided that we could do that for a short time, and that short time turned into a wonderful 15 years to watch what God did throughout those 15 years in reaching many lives for Christ.
One of my favorite stories about Better Life is about a lady who was in her last days at one of the nursing homes locally, and she was being pushed down the hallway and saw through an open door Better Life Television, and she said, I need that in my room. And not long after that, she was baptized before she passed. It was such a sweet, sweet story.
One time I flipped through the channels and I noticed my Dr. Personius talking something, but I didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, and I decided, it looks like it's a good channel because it's my doctor. And I start to listen, and word by word I start to learn English and I start to understand English. When I learn about health through Better Life Television, what happened with me, my doctor lost a patient. My heart back to normal and pacemaker is dead and I don't need it anymore. Better Life taught me to understand better God. God is my friend. Better Life for me is the best life.
And as we were changing some channels one day, we found Better Life. What we heard on Better Life was very interesting to us. KBLN teaches the truth.
How grateful I've been for Better Life Television introducing me to the truth of the Bible. And I'm so grateful that through it, I have joined the Grants Pass Seventh-day Adventist Church and found it to be the most beautiful thing in my life now that I've ever had.
I work in a local podiatry office. I see lots of people every week. And I remember especially one lady who came in. She was an elderly lady, didn't get out of the house too often. And she said, "I know you." And I said, "You do?" And she said, "Yes, I see you on Boots and Bibles on the Better Life Network." And I said, "Oh, so you watch Better Life?" And she said, "All day long." She said, "The news really bothers me on other channels, and I've decided that I don't want to listen to them anymore because all they do is upset me. But I know when I watch Better Life that I will feel much better during the day. So I just leave it on all day." She's not alone. There's a lot of lonely people out there. And some of them just want to be cheered up. And so they've told me just this last week, a couple ladies have said, "You know, I leave Better Life on all day long. I love the music, the recipes, the kids. I love everything that happens at Better Life."
I befriended a woman in this town. She wasn't living quite a Christian life. And we just became friends and started hanging out. And one day she gave me some bad news that she had terminal cancer. So I started going and visiting her more. And one day she told me she didn't have long to live. And when I showed up one day, she was in a coma. So I took her hand, knowing that her life was slipping away very fast. I took her hand, leaned down towards her ear because she couldn't respond. And I said, "I know you can't speak, but I'm going to say the words for you. And you just agree to them in your heart." And a tear came down from her eye when I got done saying that prayer with her. And I knew that she had accepted the Lord.
Through the internet, Better Life's reach has gone far beyond the Pacific Northwest. For example, a man in Ontario, Canada contacted us saying, "I enjoy your program, Stories of Faith. Keep it up." A viewer in the United Arab Emirates wrote us saying, "You mentioned that book, The Great Controversy. Could you send it to the UAE for free? I enjoy watching your show, and some of your words also spoke to me at just the right time when I was very low." And a viewer in Scotland contacted us saying, "I watch the program on YouTube. They are truly inspirational. Please don't discontinue the program. God used one of your stories to communicate something important to me." We've also been contacted by viewers around the United States who've discovered our programs online. As far as evangelistic endeavors go, Better Life is very affordable considering the amount of people reached. A typical traveling evangelist can cost a single church between $20,000 and $35,000 for a one-month event. For just a little more, Better Life can reach multiple cities at once, plus even more people via the internet. And while some people wouldn't leave their homes to attend a church event, they will watch a Bible series from the comfort of their own couch. God's gift of Better Life has been such an incredible blessing. There are so many around the world who would love to have this type of ministry beaming the gospel into their local communities. We can't let this lighthouse go dark. There are still many more souls that can be saved. If you aren't already, won't you consider becoming a regular financial contributor to Better Life? Your gifts, big or small, do make a difference. And your support of Better Life helps to fulfill Christ's command to reach the world. Each day we are 24 hours closer to our departure. Each day we're closer to leaving this troubled world behind. And we want everyone to know about God's wonderful invitation, because the trip we've been invited on is just too good for anyone to pass up.
Isn't it amazing what God is able to do? when we broadcast the truth out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That story that was told about the lady who contacted us from the United Arab Emirates asking for a copy of The Great Controversy. Do you want to know how the Lord took care of that one? That's quite a request, you know. If we wanted to ship it over there, that'd be a little bit of money. Well, I was shared with the people, the staff there, because I was the one that got the email. And one of my friends has a friend who works over with the conference in the United Arab Emirates. Got an email going on, and it wasn't very long, maybe a week or less, maybe two, that somebody was hand-delivering a copy of The Great Controversy to her. A pastor was sent, and his wife went over to see her and hand-delivered A Great Controversy. Isn't that amazing how the Lord coordinates all of that? Well, I wanted to share what was happening with Better Life with you. And as you leave today, I'm going to be handing out a copy of our January newsletter. On the back is the schedule, where you can see what programs you might want to watch. And on the inside is news. I'll get you that as you come out the door today. I wanted to share some Bible stuff with you as well. There's so much to talk about, but I can't keep you here all day. So let's try to do something quickly here. I wanted to share with you the idea of demonstration. The principle of demonstration is so important, and it pervades everything we do, but you may not have stopped to think about it. Let me start by saying, there was a man, the story goes, who was in a shopping center one day, and he was demonstrating an unbreakable comb. You know those combs you used to put in your pocket? He said, "Gather around, folks. I want to demonstrate the unbreakable comb." People gathered around. He got a crowd going, and he started twisting and bending and turning and just, you know, going to town on this poor little comb to convince these people that this was the unbreakable comb that they needed to buy. But right into his demonstration, all of a sudden, snap, it broke in two. But without missing a beat, he held up the ends and said, "Behold, the inside of the breakable comb, unbreakable comb." He didn't let a little thing like that stop him, did he? But the lesson to be learned by this is that humans learn through demonstration. Talk is cheap, they say, right? And that is very true. If you want to know something 100%, you need it demonstrated to you. And that is the theme that you see in the Bible throughout the entire sad story of sin and Satan falling in heaven to now. Is that God said, "Okay, I'm coming down. Adam and Eve, you really messed up. I gave you a very simple test. I wanted you to demonstrate your loyalty, and you did the opposite. But instead of saying that you must die forever, I have figured out a way that I can let you have a second chance." And so from then on out, we are now in a world that is under the control of Satan. Jesus said he is called the prince of this world, right? Yes. That throws people a lot because people say, when I become a Christian, nothing bad should happen to me. Or they say, God is so mighty, he can do anything he wants. Why does he allow sin? They don't know the story of the Great Controversy. The story of the Great Controversy means that God says, "I am stepping back to let Satan have his way with this world for a short period of time, because it must be demonstrated what his kingdom is all about." Amen. So we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians know, yep, we're in this battlefield. There's going to be injuries. Bad things are going to happen to us. Not everything is going to go our way. Not every prayer we pray is going to be answered with a yes. But we know that at the end of the battle, everything is going to change. God has this wonderful reset button that he's going to press. Have you been struggling with some tragedy or trauma that's happened in your life? Wait till God presses that button.
Amen.
Everything's good again. Amen. Something comes bad to you, but God says at the end, "Stay with me. After the demonstration, I'm going to take care of everything." And that's worth waiting for. I wanted to share with you, though, some of the things that God has demonstrated over the years. In heaven, there was a war, and because of time, I'm just going to read through it, rather than waiting for you to look it up. But if you want to note it, it's Revelation 12. Revelation 12 says, "And the war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Do you know in this story, God demonstrated something? He didn't come in and say, okay, angels, I'm going to tell you which ones are going to stay and which ones are going to go. But we know in the Great Controversy that the Lord had the angels fight. The angels proved their loyalties through their actions. Their actions demonstrated whose side they were on, because actions didn't lie. You're on God's side, then you're fighting for God. You're on Satan's side, you're fighting for Satan. And in that way, they separated themselves through their demonstration. Demonstration, key important. We already mentioned Adam and Eve. In the garden, God gave them a little tree and said, I just won't want you to do this. I've given you the entire planet, every tree you could ever want. Avocados. I noticed how much you guys like avocados. God made those for you. He knew you'd like them too. God said, I'm going to give you all these wonderful things, but just this one little tree you cannot touch. And they blew it. They demonstrated they had a lack of faith. Then God says, okay, let's start again. I'm going to bring you out of the garden, and I'm going to bring a lamb, and I'm going to have a lamb stand in your place and take the punishment for your sin. I just want you to sacrifice a lamb. Well, Cain and Abel was given that test, and guess what? What did Cain demonstrate? He demonstrated his lack of faith. And so Cain blew it again. There was another thing that came along that was pretty dramatic to this world, and that was the flood. Before we talk about the flood, though, in a lot of ways, the Great Controversy, what God is doing on this planet to demonstrate Satan's lies and everything, is like a court case. And have you ever stopped to realize that the Lord has involved the human race? I don't know, what would you call them? Wouldn't call them jurors yet, because we're not judging yet. Witnesses. There is a human that God has had watching the entire sad state of affairs even before the flood. Do you know what human I'm talking about? I heard it. Enoch. When did God take Enoch into heaven? Don't feel bad. I had to look it up this morning myself. Before the flood. If my source was correct, it said about 1,000 years after Adam. And I think the flood came about, 2,000 years after? So about 1,000 years after Adam, the Lord took up Enoch. So there has been a human in heaven witnessing everything that's been going on for us. And that's an important thing, because you want witnesses. If you're going to demonstrate something, you have to have somebody witness it so that they can say, yep, I saw it. Did God destroy the world in a flood? Was that a good decision? Yep, Enoch can say, I saw it. They were bad. So you can trust the angels, yes. You can trust God, yes. But it's nice to have a human observing all these things and saying, I saw it with my own eyes, and God has always done the right thing. Well, let's talk about the flood for a second. The Lord comes along, and he's very patient. How long did he give them? Noah preaching time? 120 years. How many of you are 120 years old? You have not lived as long as Noah was out there preaching. That is patience. God demonstrated patience. He said, I'm going to give you 120 years. You're going to work on this one. And then at the end, God had the animals come in. We know from the book, Patriarchs and Prophets, those animals came in. That was another demonstration to the wicked people. Did they respond? What's it going to take? The door closes. Did they respond? How many days passed from the time that the door closed and they were inside the ark till the water started falling from the sky? Why? Why was it 7 days between the door closing and the rain coming? Have you ever wondered that? Why? I've read and heard one reason is it was trying the faith of the people inside the ark. Yeah. You're inside the ark. Well, there's reasons you can have faith, because you saw the animals come in, you saw the door close, and okay, you can have faith, but still 7 days, that's a long time. But I think there was another reason we might find out in heaven that God let 7 days pass, and that was, this was a very dramatic thing. Nothing like this had ever happened on earth before. No punishment had been this big and this hard and go on for this long, and it affects so many people. So do you suppose that perhaps God allowed 7 days to pass so that the angels, Enoch, could observe, was there any mistake? Was there anybody who was outside the ark that needed to be inside the ark? 7 days passed. What happens? Did the people outside the ark get more repentant or less repentant? Wow, God allowed it to demonstrate that, yep, there's no one else worthy to be inside the ark. It was important those 7 days passed. Can I take a side trip real quick? Because I remembered now 70. How many days are we going to, do we know through spirit of prophecy that we're going to travel to heaven once God picks us up at the second coming? Did you ever wonder why 7 days again? I have a theory. When God does things, a lot of things can be done simultaneously, but I have a theory for one reason why God might have those 7 days of travel planned, set aside for us. You know why? The reason I think maybe is because it's of a little word called orientation. When God comes to pick up all the redeemed from the world, he's picking up a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures, from a lot of different times. You might look over and see a man over there. Where are you from? Oh, I died just before Noah's flood. Oh, we got a lot to tell you about. Okay. And where'd you die? Oh, I died when we were being persecuted for Jesus' name, and the church was really bad and it was horrible, and I had to give up my life for the Lord. I don't know what happened after that. Oh, we're going to tell you what happened after that. There's a lot of people who don't know what happened. Some people, we are told, are going to be in heaven who've never heard the name of Jesus. And they're going to wonder, who is this person coming in the clouds of glory to get me? They need to be brought up to speed. So I think possibly those 7 days are going to be God's and the angels' chance to get us up to speed. You're going to figure out why you were there, where you were there, how it all happened, and why you're here, and where you're going to go next. I think we're going to need that. So that's my theory. We'll see if it's right. But the Lord always helps us and gives us time to see things and to demonstrate. If you look ahead, there's a wonderful demonstration God gave us that is probably my favorite demonstration of the entire word in the word. And that is when Jesus came. When Jesus came, he demonstrated a lot. God said, I'm going to send my son in the form of man, and he's going to demonstrate my love for the humanity. And you know, the name for Jesus is the Son of Man. One of the names for Jesus is the Son of Man. That is a beautiful name. That is a beautiful name, because what it says is Jesus connected himself to us in the most intimate way he could. Son of Man, he's now one of us. In the way that he did it, however that is, he is a son of man too. And so he said, I love them, I will connect with them in a very startling way, I will come and I will redeem them. And the most beautiful thing, I think, is that, I may have said this to you both folks before, but where is God going to put his kingdom at the end of sin? We are told that the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven and descends on where? On Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that the New Jerusalem comes down to a place prepared for it. And what happened in that region, the Mount of Olives region, that is so important to us? What happened there on that piece of land down there by the, because if you went to Jerusalem, you know everything was very close. So you got the Mount of Olives, you got Jerusalem right there, just right there. So what happened there? Jesus shed his blood. So you've got the city of God coming down and resting on the very place where Jesus shed his blood. The capital of all the universe is sitting on where Jesus shed his blood. The foundation of God's government is where Jesus shed his blood. The city of God is on the place where Jesus showed the most love he could ever show. The universe now sees that God is love. His kingdom is love. And every time they come to the city, they come to the place where he shed his blood for these rebels. Didn't deserve it, did we? No. But it's going to be beautiful. You know, we go to memorials. Have you ever been to the Washington Memorial or the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C.? You go there and people are very respectful. They watch the monuments. They come over. They take pictures with them. Some people make a rubbing on the monument if they have a name of a loved one they have or something. Well, that's nothing compared to coming to the city of God where he shed his blood for all humanity and all the universe. That is a monument that's just so outstanding. So God, when Jesus came, demonstrated his personal love towards us, demonstrated he has the power to save us. There's a thing that God's going to demonstrate before the end of the world that I don't know if I want to see personally, but we need to see it. And we're told that there is a verse in Revelation that says just before Jesus comes, it's he that is filthy, let him remain filthy. He that is clean, let him remain. And we are told that it's at that time that God withdraws his spirit from the wicked. We've never seen a world without God's Spirit working on the hearts of the wicked. But he says, before I come, you need to know what happens when I take my Spirit away from the wicked. Anyway, once God demonstrates everything that's going to happen that he needs to demonstrate, you've heard the expression, you have enough, give a person enough rope to hang themselves. He's doing that for Satan. He's given Satan enough leeway to create a case where Satan may be destroyed and nobody's going to say that wasn't deserved. Amen. God has to come to a place, has to bring us to a place where we can look upon everything that he's going to have to do with the destruction of the wicked. And when he turns to us and says, is this just? We are going to say, amen, it is just. You have to do it. You are right in doing it. And it is the right thing to do. So it's going to take 7,000 years to finish the cycle. But God says, I will show you. And because of allowing all of this to happen, God says, because of this grand demonstration of Satan and his terrible government, it's going to never happen again. Amen. It's been a painful trip, but once it's done, you'll never see it again. So I say, okay, let's forge through. Let's get through the hard part, because once we get to God, it'll never happen again. So in all of this demonstration, there is a good ending. But the thing is that you individually have to make your own decision as to where you're going to be in that ending. God's provided the way out. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You're going. You know, I had the most interesting quote I just read in Desire of Ages. When it talks about Jesus sending the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Prophecy says that God sent the best gift that he could send. He could not have asked heaven for any bigger gift than to send you the Holy Spirit. She says, without the Holy Spirit, the death of Christ would mean nothing. And I said, well, what? The death of Christ would mean nothing. What does that mean? And then she says, because without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't accept, you wouldn't have the power to accept his. Amen. So God gave us his death as his substitute. And he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so that you can choose it. Because otherwise you wouldn't have the power to choose me. So let's accept it. So when it comes down to the demonstration, you have a part to play and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Don't be on the wrong side.